Welcome to the San Antonio FC Fancast. I'm your host, Royce. I have the gruesome twosome with me. I have Rafa here.
Looks like he's going for Houston this week.
No, it's red. It's not orange.
It looks orange on here.
Wow. Bad camera work there. Rafa, how are you?
After a bad week last week with some of my teams going down.
A lot of your teams went down.
Yeah,
Rafa. America, Real Madrid. Told you, Man City. Yeah. Told you, Man City. Man City, welcome.
Yeah, go Inter Milan. Welcome, Inter Milan wins.
Yeah, I'll be honest. My teams haven't been doing too well. The Cardinals have been doing really well. They've turned it around. They're only, four games out of first now in their division, which is really stupid after their start. The Dallas Stars have not shown up to the series, although Robo just tied up game four right now with an unbelievable goal. It was a tip, rebound off the goalie, hit it up, and kind of did a, the rainbow over the goalie and then touched it in. It never touched the ice, so. That's a nice goal. Go watch it. But yeah, it's going to take an unbelievable effort for them to get back in that series down 3-0. We'll see what happens, but obviously, we'll talk about SAFC, but yeah, no, you had Real Madrid and have a tough time and just get dominated by Man City. You had, was it Chivas?
So that's gonna change next year.
Was it Chivas beating?
Yeah.
America. They, well, that's kind of
America that's beat themselves nice. From that red card.
Yeah, that was such a stupid foul. That was so dumb. Anyway, Harry, how are you doing?
Doing well. Finally rested after the quick trip to Detroit.
Yeah.
Was a lot of fun. Not the result that I was hoping for, but to me, Detroit, you know, maybe not downtown Detroit because we didn't spend a lot of time downtown, but we really enjoyed the Detroit metro area. One thing, and I posted on there, is they have a lot of public soccer fields available. Like me and AJ were able to go some turf, some, a lot of, full size grass. So Mayor Ron, would love to see more public accessible soccer fields or multi-purpose fields, here in San Antonio. Because it seems like a lot of the fields, I know James Hope mentioned, hey, that there's a lot of public fields, but they're controlled by the club teams, which limits access, we'll just say. And I understand, like, Saturday mornings along those lines here, but to me that was the biggest thing is just kind of seeing how the Detroit area, just the access that they had to public access of soccer fields and stuff. And but no, it's a great time. I'd recommend anybody to go up to Detroit, Midwest. That was the first time I've ever been up in that area. We'll probably be going back up just because it seemed like a good area to go to.
Just as a Ron Nuremberg stan, I guess you can say, his response would be that San Antonio has the most green space of any city in Texas, in that it's mostly undeveloped, and it's because they want to preserve the nature part, because San Antonio respects, the wildlife, and you realize that the urban sprawl of the city is really taking over habitat, so you kind of want to leave it as is. My neighborhood, I will say, where I live, let's not talk about that, but the neighborhood I live in, we have 10 or 12 soccer fields just run by our HOA that are open to the public. So there's plenty around. You kind of got to find them, but they're around. The city of San Antonio, we have 3 or 4 cricket pitches around town. We have,
but they're not took care of.
We have a ninja. They are. Have you been to the cricket pitches? They're AstroTurf cricket
pitches. The one at 151 and 410.
Well, Tom Slick sucks. Yeah, no, I'm talking about the one in the former Alamo Golf Club over off of Rochelle and like Babcock. No, I
haven't been over there.
It's nice. It's like a turf. Obviously, the grass surrounding, that's not going to get watered, but the main pitch part of it, where the bowler pitches, or bowler bowls, I guess is the proper term. That's turf, which is nice. And then there's a Ninja Warrior course in Pearsall Park. So a lot of parks. San Antonio's doing okay. When we get back, we'll touch on some huge news in the SAFC family. All right, and we're back, and we're going to spend some time here to talk about some huge news that broke since our last show, and that's is he GM? Is he head of soccer operations? Is he vice president of the team? I don't know exactly what, or is he president of the team? I'm not sure what his title is, but he's been basically the GM and all of that for San Antonio FC since the inception in, I guess it was early 2016 when the team really got together. Tim Holt has announced that he is stepping down and in his role in the front office for SAFC. Really is a team legend. And I mean, if I may say so myself, a Spurs Sports Entertainment legend as well. And he's done a lot of great work for the organization. He built a championship team within the first 10 years of him taking the job. That's a pretty big deal. We, you know, with all the success that SAFC has, a lot of it is due to Tim Holt and the moves that he's made. He's going to be sorely missed by all. He's incredibly open to fan interaction at the at Toyota Field. You can catch him on the main concourse, say hi, good to see you. Just a really friendly dude, just a good dude. Obviously, also the father of Roman Holt, who is on who does have a scholarship to go play in San Diego for San Diego State. So perhaps he's going to follow him around, or who knows what's going to happen there. But Harry, what are your thoughts on Tim leaving and overall Tim Holt's legacy with Spurs Sports and Entertainment?
I feel sorry for who's going to have to replace him, and I think it's probably going to be more than one individual that replaces him because he had a role. I think he was a VP with Spurs Sports Entertainment, but he was also the managing director for San Antonio FC. The former USL commissioner prior to Jake Edwards for that here. When he came to San Antonio, obviously the goal was to get to MLS, and we all know how that went. I think we kind of had a hint that something was brewing because last October he put his house up for sale for that here. So that kind of raised the, raised the alarms a little bit. But no, to me, like I said here, you know, for Tim, you know, like I said, he has appeared on SA, you know, SA Fancast back when it was SA, you know, SA Soccer Talk here. For that here. So to me, like I said here, my best memories of Tim, you know, are actually the away matches, whether it was FC Dallas, when me and Rafa went to El Paso, you know, we met and talked to him for a good 10, 15 minutes, you know, through there. So to me, he was always open. He was always kind. Obviously seeing his son grow through the academy and through SAFC and through USL League Two last year with Nor'easter, and then him getting the scholarship to San Diego State.
Yeah.
You know, like I said here, it's a huge hole in San Antonio. I'm interested to see who will pick it up and what possible changes that can mean. But you know, obviously. You know, he's left San Antonio in a very good position where, you know, we are the defending champs, and roster wise, you'd have to think that, you know, we are one of the favorites to defend. Now, whether the team can do it, you know, or not, he will be staying on as a consultant throughout the year. I think his last day is what, June 1st or somewhere time in June, you know, officially. But he'll be missed at the stadium. You know, hopefully I'll get a chance to say hello to him or say goodbye to him one last time here. But maybe after he's gone, we can see if he can come back on and we can give him a proper goodbye at that point. Rafa?
Yeah, whoever comes in has got some big shoes to fill. He did a lot for this team. He brought a championship. I think that was one of his goals. I know the MLS kind of fell through, but I think bringing the championship was important to him. We got it done last year. Hopefully we can get it again, repeat it again this year. Just building this team from the ground up and where it's at, it's like I said, we had get high praises, from the USL and from other organizations, and they see, what San Antonio FC is about. And like I said, you have people that wanted to play for our teams, and especially also the academy side. He's really built that academy, and they've had some success. Like I said, not only his son, but we have other players too, like I said, that came through the academy, like Gallegos and Rocky Perez and so forth, have gone on to play, in other places. So, we're going to miss him, but like I said, I think he left a great legacy here, and like I said, whoever comes in has, some big shoes to fill, and hopefully they can continue that same success. And wherever he goes, good luck to him, and we'll see. Hopefully, maybe someday he'll come back.
Yeah, we'll see. Speculation, however you want to speculate, but perhaps after the 4 years in San Diego, that he's going to chill out, or maybe he takes, maybe San Diego's looking for a GM for their newly announced MLS franchise. Perhaps he's got something set up. It does. It sounds like he has some sort of iron in the fire, and that's kind of what I'm thinking. That's what I'm leaning towards, is that they're going to tap him because he was with Orlando City before. And he got them up the MLS. He got them up and running. So I think it's kind of a no-brainer to go get him and his expertise to get that team off the ground. Wouldn't you know it? His son's gonna makes you wonder if he knew that far in advance that Roman accepted the scholarship to go to San Diego State. That he knew he's gonna follow his son with the gig, but kind of. Happy for him. Good luck in your future endeavors, Tim. And hopefully all of our paths cross here in the future. So that'd be great. Thanks, Tim. And moving on, let's talk about, Tim Holtz's last major move as in his current role with SAFC. We have another signing for a center back, a USL veteran and a veteran of some European secondary leagues, Tulu Yakubu. We'll just call him Tulu. Walid Yakubu. We'll just call him Tulu from Hartford Athletic on a transfer. So an all-out purchase of a contract. So that's a very interesting move. I don't think we've seen this happen too often, and this definitely means that SAFC had been tracking him and they really wanted him. So it kind of makes you wonder kind of what that says about the move, that obviously they're tracking him. He became available. They pulled the trigger, and we already have four center backs on contract. So now we have a fifth. So that does add some much needed depth on the back line. I think that's kind of been our big issue. I mean, we had Connor Maloney in our back line for two or three matches. So
Shannon Gomez too, as well.
Yeah. Shannon as well. So a big, big area of need. Tulu is 6'2", 185, big physical, mostly right-sided, center back, which is also a point of need because Manly did have his
re-aggravation.
Setback. Yeah, a re-aggravation, a setback in his return from injury in the Nashville match. So we haven't seen him since. So hopefully he's okay. Hopefully this doesn't mean anything, too bad happened. Hopefully it's just a depth signing, or we'll see what Tulu does. But I think it's a much needed move for sure. I think the back line has been our thinnest area so far this season. Rafa, your thoughts on the signing?
It's a good move. Like I said, I watched the video on it. He's a great defender. he's got the size that we look for, you know, over six, you know, pretty much our back line's over 6'2". He wasn't very utilized too much this season by Hartford. I know Harry had posted some stuff on him that he's had some playing time. But this year, I don't know, maybe he's fell out of favor, out of the rotation.
I think it's been injuries. Injuries? They mentioned that he's coming back from an injury. I do know that he was loved in Hartford. They were kind of shocked that they transferred him. But to me, and I guess the question kind of comes in, is it mainly depth that he's coming in for? Because, you know, in 2021, he did have about 2,400 minutes. 2022, over 1,600 minutes. And now this year, obviously, he's only had 54 minutes in two matches. So, to me, it's probably going to take him a little bit of time to round into shape. But, you know, obviously, you're probably not taking out Bautista. You're not taking out Garcia. You're not taking out Tanner along those lines here. So, my question to the two of you is to me, I think we kind of think that this is probably a manly fill in, but he is a starter level quality in USL. So where do you guys kind of see him fitting in?
I think he can fit in where Tanner's at. I think, cause remember Tanner is just coming off an injury. We don't know, you know, and when he looked good, he looked good in the last couple games. But I think this is just a little insurance policy just in case if he maybe re-aggravates something, just like with Manly. So why not have him? And he kind of, you know, I get that kind of the feel. Remember when we got Kai Ford, you know, very talented, limited play coming off from injury, kind of the same vibes with him and
Courtney Ford.
Courtney Ford, yes. He's just a typical defender that we normally get. And I think it's a good, like I said, good insurance policy to have, especially the if you look at our schedule, it's going to be a grind in June since we're going to play a lot of the top teams. So I think this is a good move by SAFC.
Yeah, for sure. And also keep in mind that Lamar Bautista and Fabian Garcia have played every single minute of the season so far. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those guys could probably use a rest at this point. So, I mean, keep that in mind that depth helps, especially later in the season. I mean, July is going to be pretty torrid. June's not going to be too bad. July is going to be pretty bad because we do have the friendly match. So we really don't get a week off there. And then August, I think we play, if I remember correctly in the schedule, I think we play like seven or eight games in the month of August. So, you know, coming up, the schedule is going to get pretty tight. So it's good to get those players integrated now, get them playing, and get them ready. And kind of while we're on it, speaking of depth, let's go ahead and get into the injury list, as announced before the match. We still have PC out. Parker still out from his injury. Manly, obviously, we just covered. A surprise was Juan Carlos Asokar being out with an injury already. He gets one match in and he's already injured. Not ideal. Hopefully it's nothing too bad.
San Antonio way.
Yeah. And then we know Davi Loera still recovering from a shoulder injury in Nashville. And then a bit of good news that we do have is Maloney is unavailable, but Maloney is unavailable because on May 19th, on Friday, he did have a baby boy, a big baby boy, close to midnight, actually. So he just beat the buzzer, having his birthday on May 19th. So congratulations to the Maloney family. Very happy for y'all. Good luck not getting sleep for the next month or so. So hope mom is healthy. Hope the baby's healthy. Hope nothing the best for y'all. Very happy about that. Let's get on to starting lineup for the Detroit match. Rafa, I'm a leave it off to you because it's the formation you've always wanted to see. So go ahead. Mute. Mute.
Sorry about that. I was surprised about the 4-3-3. Normally, I like them to play a 3-4-3 to be aggressive, especially up top. But I guess maybe because of certain injuries, they decided to play a four-back and also, you know, to kind of counter whatever style Detroit was playing. Our three-headed monster up top, you know, no, it's that was expected. And then Parker, you know, Abu. I was a little surprised that Ja'Cory didn't get the start, but like I said, it's still a good, strong lineup, you know, going into this game.
So the lineup was Farr, Bautista, Tanner, Garcia, Gomez for the back four, Pirano, Abu, Zahir, and then up top, Adrenarin, Tani, and Nico Hansen, the three up top. So your thoughts, Royce, on the lineup here and on the bench. You had, you had, Mercado, Smith, Hayes, Hernandez, Bailey, Nacho, and Dylan. So Dylan returned, from, you know, from his injury here. So your thoughts on the 4-3-3, element. I was a little bit shocked, with it here, 'cause that's what, the second or third time we've seen this lineup in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And to me, I don't know if it was really a 4-3-3. It was very fluid, and it was very interesting to see kind of how it happened. I guess if it's a 4-3-3, one of the more disappointing aspects of it was that Zico didn't get on the field, and Bautista was the left back. I think that was kind of a – like, I get it, but as a four-back, it's kind of a miss. Bautista is normally kind of your cover guy. He's the rover amongst the back line, and he normally gets out and he's pressing whatever forward you the other team has. I think they brought him back more to add, you know, somebody else to the midfield to try to influence the attack, because they weren't expecting Detroit to really attack too much, which they didn't, spoiler alert. But at the same time, I think that was a little bit of a miss, because we did miss a lot of Batista's service there from the left-hand side. He had to stay back a little bit more than usual. And then Zuhir getting his first start, Rita getting his first start with SAFC. I think he looked really good. He was, I don't even think low-key good. He was just, I think everybody could see how good he was on the field. And I think that this is really an experiment to get Tanny and Sam on the field at the same time, because those are your big boppers there. Those are the twin towers. And then Nico and Christian to kind of provide service for those two. I think that was a thought for how the formation was put together. That's mostly how it worked. We'll go into a little bit of the game action with the highlights. But could we see this in the future? Maybe. Did it work this time? I think it worked pretty well. I think we are just unlucky in this match. But let's go over the highlights real quick.
Freedom to playing with like this. You are not expected to win this match on paper and with talent levels. So if you can't play free there, it's going to be tough to play free anywhere.
And there's a long ball over the top from their center back, a typical San Antonio FC move. That's exactly what you normally see us doing, and we had it done to us. And then this is the goal. It takes a wicked bounce. So here's, so pause it real quick. Let's go over this goal real quick. So
I think the replay is going to do it better.
Yeah. So if you watch this through ball, there's a wicked bounce that would never happen in a million years on real turf. It would skip. Instead, it checks up, and then it proceeds to check up three more times. And the center backs are waiting for this ball to die so they can win it. And it just stays in the air, and nobody goes and gets it. So watch.
Here's my problem. There's your two center backs right there,
which is fine.
I don't think it's fine.
Fair enough. Yeah, no, that's definitely one of those things where if it bounces, that's a problem. And it bounced. And it just continued to bounce and bounce. And that's where this guy gets the shot from. Nobody really has a lot of pressure on him. And it beats Jordan because it's it's just a shot. You're not, no goalkeeper's going to save because he doesn't have a lot of pressure on him. Yeah. But yeah,
no, one like, of the center backs has to stay back, right?
Yeah, that's Tanner. Yeah. If you look at what Tanner should have stayed on his spot. Yeah. If you look right there, and if you stop it right here.
So there's Tanner, here's Garcia, and there's Sherman, as I call him, because he fell down quite a bit during the match.
Yeah. So typically in the San Antonio system, Fabian Garcia would be the one to stay back. Whoever's the center back is the one who's always home. And the other two, the right center back and the left center back, they'll be more of the wanderers, and they'll be ones that'll win those. Either way, they both completely missed it, so that's a big no-no. And then the kind of the second big no-no was just they were waiting for that ball to die, and it never did. It just kept bouncing. So definitely the player knew the turf he was playing on, and he
goal did of the well week. With, you know, we can't ignore it, so it's goal of the week. Yeah.
Not at all.
Hell of a goal. Oh.
It was, and that's one you got to tip your cap and you got to reset. You got to be like, oh, well, you know, can't give those up, but at the same time we did get back up and let's try to get something out of this game. I mean, the fifth minute in, that's not ideal. So.
Yeah, that defensive error, I think there's got to be a better communication by Garcia and Tanner there. I think one defender needs to go towards the ball. The other one needs to stay deep back to cover that space.
Yeah.
Well, at least cover that gap. Because if Garcia is there, even though if Tanner pushes out, it goes overhead, Garcia would have been there to kind of stop that play there from, you know, ever developing, or even for him giving the shot. More than likely, he would have had to play it out to the wings. So, like I said, that miscommunication from both going to the player attack and attacking the ball. Like I said, one should have stayed back and so forth. And that's what cost them the goal.
Does that go, and I'm not trying to place blame on Coach Marcina or the players. Does that go because we're used to playing three in the back and this time we switched to just the two center backs?
Both. I think so. But also,
this was the fifth minute of the game. So this was early on. This was the first free kick. I think they kind of underestimated Steinwasser's leg a little bit, and the carry of the ball, because, you know, you saw the Detroit player kind of try to head it first and he missed it, it surprised both, you know, Mitch and Fabian, where it got by them. And, you know, once it did that, it was, you know, you're kind of at the mercy, where the Detroit forward basically was able to settle the ball and one time it.
Harry, quick question for you. Was it windy at the game?
It wasn't too windy. There was a little bit of breeze. I do think it was going in that direction, but to me, not enough to like to me, I don't think, you know, cause that was the first kick Nate did. And you know, like I said here, you know, he got the ball and, you know, it was an unlucky play, you know, from the San Antonio aspect, from Detroit City's aspect, you know, and the announcers even mentioned they've had a little bit of hard luck, you know, this season here and, you know, they finally capitalized for here. But to me, it was for Detroit City and being there, it was the perfect opener for them because, you know, allowed Coach Trevor James to kind of settle in and bunker in, which is what we saw the rest of the match. And that's how Detroit City likes to play. They'll kind of grab that early goal. And like San Antonio FC, if they get a goal, they're very hard to break down, you know, just on how they played. And you know, as we watch kind of the rest of the highlights here, to me, their defense, you know, was outstanding. You know, the Steinwasser, you know, once again, you know, to me, he's an elite level goalkeeper.
He won player of the week. Deservedly for this match. And that's kind of what happened. We got reversed as AFC. They got a cheap goal off of us in the fifth minute and then defended like their lives depended on it. So, I mean, we won a championship off that last season. Yeah. So kudos to Detroit City. They've had a rough season so far and they made a count this week. So
all credit to Detroit City. And we're going to get to kind of the next one here because I think the next one here, if San Antonio gets the goal that they deserve to get, then I think it's a different game and we may be having kind of a different discussion on how this game plays out.
Very fair.
But it unfortunately did not happen that way. So, Rafa, I know you and I kind of broke this down during the match here.
Yeah, I don't see how you call that at all. It's so stupid.
But you can't. And here,
you see him, he raises the flag right away.
He doesn't see this guy here because there's a guy on the post. There's a second guy on the post. It's not Garcia that's offside. It's Nico. That's the only person that could be called.
I don't think he calls offside, though.
But he does. It's even labeled offsides on YouTube.
I'm pretty sure he said that the ball went out.
No, that ball doesn't go out.
And it's nowhere near out. So that's kind of still why I'm baffled at this call. And for the ball to go in, I'm still baffled at it. That's the only thing I can think of that he called was that the ball went out.
Because they didn't call a foul on Nico, maybe on goalkeeper, you know, interference, because, you know, through there. Fabian's goal was clean. I'm just trying to think of what it is. Maybe it is the outside. Maybe he swung it in, swung it out too far. Which, of course, we'll never know.
Like I said, I'm pretty sure he said that the kick went out of bounds. But still,
But would you call the flag? The flag up means offsides, though.
It also means out.
Does
so? How it would be offside? So go back. We'll look at the flag
when he does this straight up in the air,
and then he'll point. If it's offside, he'll point down the flag.
Now, if it was out, he would have pointed up and he would have waved his flag. Because I've seen that some games, other games, league games. Not just say ours, but like I said, like in European, when the ball does go out,
we don't know that because it leaves him.
Well, yeah, when it just shows him raising it, you don't see if he waves it. But I thought up and wave meant a foul. But
no, when it's a foul is when you wave it. Yeah, what you mentioned. But when it's straight up, that's an offside.
Well, either way, we'll never know what the call was, and there's a goalie race there that shouldn't have been erased. And then here you go on the side washer taking over the goal.
Or taking over the game. There.
What'd you say?
So that was a back cross by Nico.
No, I said this is Steinwasher taking over the game as he did. And that's pretty much what he did consistently. And this is a lot of the crosses that we're used to getting in, he would just pluck out of the air. So, I mean, he's player of the week for a reason. This is the one that hurts.
Off the post.
Ripped it off the post. That's kind of the luck we had right there. Not too many more ways I can say it. Because that was just clear chance. And then we had another one where the cross is just awful. I think Tanny has a cross, and I think it goes right in the hands of the keeper instead of to a wide open Sam coming up. But yeah, it's just kind of one of those. We're going to watch a lot of chances that we don't convert. So
is in their season right now. Here's an opportunity. This is a 3v2. Right foot shot. A Steinwasher closes the door. It was a rocket by Hansen, and Nate says no. San Antonio FC. That could be a springboard. It's huge.
Yeah, that one. If you notice on that shot, he had to wait for the ball a bit, and that kind of allowed the goalkeeper to get.
There's me.
Gets.
Well, there you are.
That gets set.
Looks like Harry.
Now, on that play, would it be better if he played off to the left side?
I have my flag already. Oh, so sad.
Just not enough power on that one.
Now stepping up, Jorge Hernandez lays it off to Hayes. Hayes drives it in. Cut out, top of the D, left foot chip ahead, finds it.
That was close, too.
Oh, my Lord.
Top of the frame. Boy, Ailone nearly leveled this match. Nice lead, Abe, to Reese Williams. Beautiful outlet. And how about that touch? And what a play by Connor Runtz just to steer it out. That shot's done, Washer.
Ridiculous. Just unlucky, one step off.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Just unlucky. And there's the final whistle. Yep. I mean, some great chances, some unbelievable plays. The team looks like they have a lot of chemistry together going forward. Just it didn't go in the net. What are you going to do? Got goal lead, and we had some really good chances. Just give up one shot, give up one goal. It is what it is. Move on and go to the next one. I mean, what are you going to do?
Yeah, so stat-wise, San Antonio FC 53% to 47 for Detroit. We had 19 shots, only 3 on target. They had 4 shots, 1 on target. We had 9 off. They had 7 blocks, which I think to me was the big story.
Well, technically we had 4 on target and we had 20 shots, but one of those for some reason didn't count.
3 corners, 1 offsides, fouls 16-15. We had 3 cards, they had 1. We had 13 shots inside the box, 6 out. The rough, especially on passes, they were at 50%. We were at 53%. So, you know, that's a rough special there. They had 22 clearances, 17 interceptions. We had 21 tackles. But what can you say? You look at the game flow on this. It's all San Antonio. It just wasn't our night. I hate to say it. I was lucky enough. Me and AJ were lucky enough to travel home with the team. You know, on the flight back, they were like, "Hey, we're sorry." I'm like, "There's nothing to be sorry. They played well. You know, could they? You know, it wasn't like Charleston. Don't get me wrong, where everything dropped for them, but they didn't play poorly. It was unlucky. And you know, Detroit needed a win, and they got it. And you know, like I said here, you know, their defense played well. Steinwasser, who's a very underrated goalkeeper, if you don't know him from Detroit. But no, it's to me, like I said here, it was a well-played game. I did go there, as most everybody knows. If you do get the opportunity, it's a great location to see the game. Pre-game, they have kind of a tailgate area where they have a bunch of food trucks that come out. They have got some benches. It's kind of old school still, like they still give you know, the cans of beer, you know, along those lines here. You know, they get the merch setups, but to me, like I said, it was a great environment, you know, for there here. I was invited to actually have a Detroit City clubhouse downtown where, you know, me and AJ went there Friday night, kind of where, what's the ice rink? Kind of what's over on
Little Caesars Arena or whatever, where the Red Wings play?
No, here in town.
Here Northwoods.
Northwoods has that indoor soccerplex where it has kind of the two things. They have one set up like that up there in Detroit, you know, set up for just Detroit City. It was awesome to go in there, see. I met Red, who does the 451 podcast. He was working there that night, but you know, we got to watch. Rec games and stuff, and you know, the beer was good, and they had some meat pies, as they call them. So, but no, it was, to me, if you get an opportunity to go to Detroit City match, you can't recommend it high enough. People were pretty cool there. What was funny is we were walked in with some people that used to live in San Antonio many, many years ago, so they saw me with the San Antonio stuff, so we were chit-chatting and. But just great, great environment. I know the Northern Guard online has kind of a presence of, hey, that they're, you know, that they're kind of not friendly, but no, like I said, here it was a great time. Like I said, Detroit, I enjoyed the Detroit metro area, and Michigan overall. So plus, you know, it was 50 degrees, 60 degrees. So, couldn't beat the weather. So not too hot. But the turf, though, I will say the turf, and I think this will go to Royce's next point, not good. In talking to some members of the team, only Miami, they thought that as far as for turf conditions, They thought Miami was worse than the field conditions that, you know, there, but both teams play on it. It is an older facility. It is a community facility. So, you know, no qualms about it. You know, I thought it was a pretty even game for here. My only bone to pick, and I'm still puzzled by this, Shannon Gomez got an elbow, bloodied his lip. I understand why he got the yellow card, because him and the ref had contact, and he kind of moved back in probably a way that the ref's like, hey, I got to card you. But how that wasn't carded when he got elbowed, or, you know, the Detroit City player elbowed him. So, you know, that was the thing that kind of struck out to me, is outside of the goal is, you know, he had blood running down his face, and he told the ref, and the ref's like, well, you got to go off. And he's like, well, he elbowed me, and obviously he got blood running down. And the refs, you know, just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And like I said, here's Shannon, unfortunately, kind of, you know, aggressively kind of walked away and got the card. But to me, outside of that, I don't, you know, from a San Antonio FC fan, I'm not sure there's much to complain about. You know, like I said, here, they played good. I thought a little bit, you know, as we discussed, unlucky. The environment's a fun environment to go to as a player, I bet, but I don't know what else to say, you know, on the Detroit City match, just because it basically was the opposite of Charleston, you know, where Charleston, everything went in this match, nothing was going in.
Yeah. Just kind of real quick to go over the turf point that I wanted to make. SAFC is going to play, or has played, 5 of their 34 matches on turf. They've already played 3 of them. So far, they're 1-1-1 on turf. They have a win in Monterey. They have a draw with Loudoun, and they have this loss here at Detroit. Loudoun in Detroit, by far the worst condition turf fields that they're going to play on, and they didn't play that well on them. And it shows. The other two matches that they have on turf coming up, they have one at Oakland and one at Colorado Springs. Both of those pitches are better, especially now that Oakland's going to play at, is it Cal State? Is it Santa
Barbara?
We don't
know about Oakland is kind of still in flux, so I wouldn't be making.
Well, they're definitely not. They've announced that they're playing the rest of their matches at the college. I think it's,
right.
Is it Cal Poly or is it Cal State? Either way, they're playing the rest of their, they're playing the rest of their matches on that field. So, and it's in better condition than what
the previous one was,
the previous at match Laney. And then Loudoun. Yeah. So
Colorado's is a good pitch. It's a narrow pitch.
It is, but it's nice. It's nice.
It's that coconut artificial turf that they mm-hmm. paid a whole lot of money for. You know, the problem with Colorado's is it's a narrow pitch. It's a small pitch in my
So there's that to consider. And this is kind of why, home field advantage is so important. God forbid we get in the playoffs and we have to play away at one of these fields. So no thanks. But once again, we got goal lead. Yes, both teams have to play on the turf, but one team is used to playing on the turf. It's a big reason why. You know, the Cardinals back in the day when they had Whitey Herzog as their manager, Ozzie Smith would just, you know, Baltimore chop one, get a base hit off of it. They'd bunt him over, and then there'd be a base hit, and boom. You know, that's how they'd score their runs. The Astros in the Astrodome, when you had to go play on that really crappy AstroTurf, they were used to the bounces. A lot of teams weren't. So, you know, it's a strategy, but at the same time, it's kind of like letting your grass grow long or cutting it short. It's one of those things. So, I mean, they took advantage. They didn't necessarily play. Steinwasser played really well. Everybody else,
They played well for how their season is going.
Pretty much. But SAFC played really well. They just ball didn't fall for them. What are you going to do? Move on. And we get to look forward to New Mexico United coming into town. For military night on Saturday coming up. But real quick, let's talk about who our man of the match for the Detroit match were, as well as who our what our mentality monster moment of the match was. Start with Rafa. Rafa, who's your man of the match, and what is your mentality monster moment of the match for the loss away at Detroit?
I think I got to give as far as mentality monster to Zaire. I think he had a great game. I think he really frustrated. I think Detroit just couldn't muster anything offensively except for that one lucky, like I said, that one lucky play. So and I think he's been a perfect piece, you know, to kind of fill that role, you know, missing PC and out there. And you can tell that he's got a lot of talent, and hopefully Montreal doesn't call him back. Cause I think it later on in the season, I think he's going to pay dividends, and then he's going to really kind of gel with the rest of the squad. So he's my kind of mentality monster of the match. And then as far as the moment, I don't really can see really any moments, because it was just a frustrating game. So I got to skip on that one. I don't think there's really a moment as far as that.
Sorry, and Harry?
So my man of the match, I'm going to give it to Nico. I thought he did a really good job. He's a little bit unlucky in his finishing. But going up on the right-hand side, he had several opportunities. I think any other match he gets a goal. My moment of the match actually kind of happened afterwards. As I mentioned earlier, we flew home on the same plane. We said hello, to the players, as they saw us. And then, on the plane, we said hello. But that's it. But in the luggage area, Coach Meyer Cena asked if AJ wanted to have a picture of the team, which, of course, AJ was like, sure. So I want to give a huge shout out to Coach Marcina. The moment of the match, I know it wasn't game time, but I know for me and AJ, it was pretty cool for him to come up in the infamous luggage area for San Antonio Scorpions fans, old school. Fans remember that here, but so, thank you to Coach Marcina for having the team take the picture with AJ. It was kind of cool. And Batista, we will have to work on AJ getting, your number on the back of one of his kits, as opposed to just Garcia's, that he had here. So we'll see about making that update a little bit.
And for mine, my man of the match, I am going to have to agree with you, Harry. Nico is my man of the match. His movement was really positive. He created a lot of really nice chances. He had a big one saved. Unfortunately, he hit the post. He showed up in the spaces he needed to show up, tucking in behind Tanny and Sam. And he was really effective in that role. I want to see him there in the future. I thought he looked really good. My mentality monster of the match, or mentality monster moment of the match, is Justin Dillon coming back from the injury list. He's been on there the entire season. Well, not the entire season, but since the Loudon match, he got hurt on their crappy turf. So it was good to see him back on, back available.
Another crappy turf.
A crappy turf.
Gee, there seems to be a pattern there. So good to see him back. We've spoke his praises. It's been, his absence has been very obvious. So really looking forward to getting back in the team and getting him back integrated with everything. His pressing actions on the wing plus his scoring touch, that combination's really been missed in this team this season. So hopefully he can get back on the front foot, and we'll see how he looks after this. So we'll be right back if you want to get a transition going. We'll be right back with a little Around the League wrap-up.
Yeah. Sometimes I get so mad, there's no control in me. My thoughts get so bad, I'm like,
what is
I might
this?
Grab a bat, I don't know. My wrath, my blood boils over like,
oh is it,
God, here goes. I lost all feeling from my head to my toes. You said
like
some that I can't let go. So just
some 8 Mile
the rest of the show.
Tribute for so going to Detroit. What is happening? Wow. Wow. Sure.
It was beeped out. It was cleaned.
Okay.
are we a family show? Or?
The language wasn't the most offensive part of that.
The
offensive part was the music. Yeah.
The Todd era of suck around table here.
Yikes. So anyway, Harry, I'm going to throw it over to you. Just let's do a little wrap around the league for week 11.
If I can hear. So yeah, week 11, you had New Mexico United, who we face next, get a 3-1 win, over Loudoun United. Orange County at the time did a favor for us, beating Sacramento Republic. Tulsa lost to Memphis 9-1, and then Tulsa traded for Memphis 901 star forward Goodrum, the Golden Boot winner last year, which paid dividends last night as Tulsa beat Louisville City in Louisville. Charleston Battery got back to the winning column, 1-0 over Monterey Bay. Hartford Athletic 2-0 over Loudoun United. So Loudoun's had a rough couple of weeks here that they haven't found the winless column. Indy 11 got by the Switchbacks, which helps us out a little bit. San Diego Loyal had a comeback against Miami FC and probably the game of the week. The Riverhounds destroyed the Lights 4-1, keep the Lights winless. Red Hot El Paso Locomotive 2-1 over Birmingham. Obviously, Detroit San Antonio we talked about. Rowdies went down to RGV and destroyed RGV's dreams once again, so by a score of 3-0. Phoenix went to Orange County. Walked away 1-0, and Sacramento took care of the Roots 3-1. So looking where things kind of stand at this point here out west. Sacramento, first place with 24 points. El Paso, after an 0-3 start, second place at 22 points. San Diego Loyal at 20. San Antonio at 19 points. We're sitting fourth. Phoenix at 16 points, Switchbacks at 16 points, Roots at 14 points, New Mexico United with 9 games played at 14 points, Monterey Bay, RGV 13-11, and Orange County and Vegas. Orange County's already fired their coach at 9 points, and the Lights 6 points on 6 draws, but no wins. So the loss kind of hurts because we would have been tied for second, or actually probably in second place, 2 points back from Sacramento as opposed to being 5 points back. So that's where it kind of stings, where Orange County did that favor of getting the victory, but still semi-early, although we're at 11 games now, so a third of the season in. So, you know, it's no more, you know, hey, it's early in the season. For that here. So to me, facing New Mexico United, always an interesting matchup. Somos Mas, you know, give them a follow. They have a YouTube channel if you want to catch their show. They do a good show, Seth, Jacob, and Earl, for that here. So, but to me, New Mexico United averages about 1.7 goals, although they did lose one of their top defenders with a silly red late in the match, Kalen Ryden. So they'll be a little bit weakened in the back, and I'm looking forward to see how San Antonio arrives back home from Detroit. I can tell you the team wasn't happy with the with the results, as I kind of discussed here. But we will see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see that as well, to see how they continue their form. Obviously, they're not happy. They're not satisfied, especially with being an Alan Marcina team. You know, they're going to come out looking for blood there against New Mexico here in this match. So, in New Mexico, like you said, is also missing a one of their starting defender and one of the starting center backs. So that's not going to be ideal for them either. And another big thing that New Mexico's always had historically had trouble with SAFC at home, or any team with a regular soccer pitch at home, because or at their home, not at the lab, not at the baseball field, is because, and why they've historically been pretty competitive against Colorado Springs, is because they are used to a very narrow, very short pitch. So anytime that team typically historically goes to a regular size or a bigger pitch, they have issues. So we'll see what happens this weekend. I really hope the team comes out hungry. Like I said, they performed really well. It's got unlucky. So show us what the team is made of on Saturday and show us kind of what we expect from week to week. For sure. Rafa, do you have any thoughts on the upcoming match and military on Saturday?
So, yeah, this should be interesting game. Like I said, this is like another rivalry game besides our Copa Tejas ones. It's always a tight game between New Mexico. Should be a fun one. But hopefully, like I said, we learn from this last loss and we turn it up like we did in Charleston and show no mercy, especially with them not having their star center back there. We can cause them problems there with our three forwards. So hopefully we can pour it on them. And also it's military appreciation night. So, you know, someone from the military, bring them out, treat them to a game. And also thank you to all the service people who serve, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, Coast Guard. Salute to you guys with coming up with the Memorial Day, you know, just a weekend.
And Space Force. Don't forget the Space Force.
Yeah. All the Luke Skywalkers, yep. So, should be fun.
Wow, that's unfortunate.
It should be fun.
The Space Force and the Air Force, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Well, how they used to present the Air Force was the world's most dominant air and space force, and now there's a separate Space Force. So, a little silly, but there's still a branch, so...
They are, yeah, Coast Guard as well.
I mean, the Air Force used to be a part of the Army, so...
But there is one topic I want to add here. Rafa, you might want to set this out. I know you got some fancy new shoes that L3 colors. But the World Cup U20 is going on tomorrow, 1 o'clock. The USA hopefully will close out group play against Slovakia. I'm pretty sure they're almost all the way through because they've got 6 points. And there are, you know, if you're a high third place finisher, you'll be able to qualify, and there's not many teams with 6 points. So I think they're already advanced to the knockout stage, but good luck to the boys on hopefully winning Group B. And that's tomorrow at 1 o'clock on FS2 tomorrow, will be where it'll be. And Diego Luna and others have been performing very well for the United States. 4 goals, none allowed. So, and that's against Ecuador, who they had a banger at the death to win. And then
USL's own former starlet, Jonathan Gomez, had that. Jogo had that goal. And you also have USL's own Winder is starting Luna. Center back. USL's own Diego Luna, USL's own Cade Cowell. So, yeah, there's a lot of former USL talent at that U20 World Cup. So it's been exciting to watch. It's been exciting to watch Diego Luna. He looks like the same person we dreaded playing every week. He's yeah, built like a tank now. He's filled out, he's, for sure.
Yeah. He's laid off the Chico's tacos.
But no, like I said here, tomorrow will be an interesting match going against Slovakia, who's second in the group. Who did lose to Ecuador 2-1, and Ecuador gets Fiji. So most likely Ecuador will finish with 6 points. So goal difference may come into play. We're at +4. Ecuador is at 0, but going against Fiji, they've allowed, you know, 4 and 3. So hopefully if US does lose, they can keep that goal difference, because that may come into play where you can finish first or second as opposed to dropping into that wild card round.
All right. So moving on, I have a very exciting little a bit that we're going to play. So we'll see how this goes. But right now on the SAFC website, and you can go, I think they're using Dash. But we have the military warm-up tops for sale right now online for the auction. I want everyone to give me your prediction as to who is going to be the highest overall selling warm-up jersey. Everybody out there, I'm going to put my guess in. I have an educated guess because, ladies and gentlemen, the initial prices are in, and it's insane. Let's go over it. So as of right now, Jordan Farr's warm-up is going for $150. Current bid, and currently there's six bids. And the winning one is at $150. Carter Manley has one bid so far, $100. They start at, first bid has to be $100. It goes up from there. There's been two bids so far for Mitchell Tainers. His is at $130. Fabian Garcia has two bids, $110. Ja'Cory Hayes has zero bids. Somebody put a bid in for Ja'Cory Hayes. His is at zero so far. PC has one bid for $100. Juan Carlos Zocar has zero bids at $0. Somebody bid on his as well. Same thing with Jorge Hernandez. Nobody's bid on his yet. Nico has one bid for $100. David Loera doesn't have any bids yet. Sam Adeniran has six bids. He's at $170. Mm-hmm. Lamar Batista has one bid at $100. Yeah, big surprise that Big Sam is one that is in demand. Tanny, he has four bids. He's at $150. Kamarni Smith has zero bids so far. Rita Zuhir has zero bids so far. I'm going to skip that one because that's freaking ridiculous.
Holy crap.
Yeah, yeah. Let me get there.
Woo!
Yeah. Nacho Bailone has three bids. He's at $120. Shannon Gomez has no bids. Isaiah Parker has no bids. Muhammad Abu has one bid for $100. Zico Bailey has one bid for $100. Connor Maloney has seven bids. He's at $170. And Carlos Mercado has one bid at $100. But right now, everyone's getting boat raced right now by Christian Pirano. 11 bids. The top bid, $400 already for that warm-up top. Gee, I wonder who my pick. So, for obvious reasons, in this little contest, I'm going to disqualify Christian Pirano from the competition because he's boat racing everybody. So the competition is: tweet at us, message us on Facebook. Who do you think is going to have the second highest jersey as far as price goes, what the winning bid goes, and what do you think the winning bid is going to be? And we'll give you a shout out here on the show. We'll see what else we can pick out. But
Pirano going to get to $1,000?
He might. That's the crazy part. He might.
But that's another question. Will he get to $1,000?
Right, right. We also have the mental health awareness warm-up tops. I got
that one here.
Okay, let's hear these prices. I want to see. Let's hear these prices.
So on here in this, hold on
before. Jordan Farr, $240 on the mental health awareness. Wow. Hold on 1 second.
Let me bring some context to this, because this is a very, okay, especially with where we're at.
It's important.
Right now.
It's important for us. Yeah, it's important for us on the show as well. I think this is a big thing to go about as well. And this has been spearheaded by Connor Maloney and Justin Dillon.
So this is Bring Your Own Energy. It was started by captains Connor Maloney and Justin Dillon, who are aiming to further educate and further the education and understanding of mental health challenges in sports. The phrase "bring your own energy" means that no matter how you're feeling at the moment in time, bring that energy, and we'll make sure that we hear you, we see you, and we are with you. And then if you go into their site, they have that here. This one does have, I think the current one that you just talked about ends in 2 days. This ends next week, so I have a feeling this will probably be the following week that they wear. Jordan Farr, eight bids at $240. Manley at $100. Tainer, five bids, $140. Garcia, $120. Hayes, no bids yet. PC, $100. Juan Carlos, no bids yet. No bids for Jorge. Nico at $100. Larrer, no bids. Dillon, one bid at $100. Big Sam at 260, Batista won, Tanny at 250, Kamiri, Rita at Zahir, one bid. Pirano only had 160 on this one. Nacho 11 bids at 210. So I think
that's a bargain price on that Christian Pirano.
Gomez at 100, Parker no bids yet, Abu 100, Bailey one bid at 100. Maloney two bids at 110 and Mercado at 100 here. But
here's an important question, because last season Elliot Collier was the one I bid on and I kept getting outbid. But Elliot Collier was a guy that I wanted the warm up from because I could actually wear his. He wears an extra large. Who the hell do you think wears an extra large on this team? Maybe Sam?
Sam.
That's gonna be
Sam's
a tough
probably
get.
The closest.
That's gonna be a tough get. Anyway, $400 though.
That's MLS money for Big Sam.
Fair enough.
And Tanny.
Lord.
And so, Rita. Final topic here, because I know we're a little bit over an hour here. Final topic that we have here, and it's gonna be probably kind of a somber topic. I know Roth has already got it in his profile here. Of Uvalde Strong along those lines here. So we'll let you kind of start it out, Rafa, you know, with your comments about Uvalde.
Yeah, just a little tribute to them. You know, it's been a year since that tragedy with the 19 students and the two teachers. Just a way to remember them, keep their their memory and their legacy alive. And you know, Uvalde is, like I said, it's a sister city near my hometown. Like I said, I have family that live in Uvalde. I have two aunts that live there. It's a good community. The things that just, our prayers are always going to be with them. And, you know, just, it's been a rough year for, I know, for a lot of the parents, you know, the loss of their child. And like I said, that's probably one of the toughest things in life to go through. But just a shout out to Uvalde. Like I said, we're always in our prayers and, you know, we're always thinking about you guys and the legacy of the kids and the teachers there. So a good shout out to them.
Yeah. And the most important thing that we can do, to honor their lives, the ones we lost on that day, we got to be better as a society. What can I tell you? We really need to have, an epiphany to realize that, you know, some things are more important than other things. And we really need to have a deep look in the mirror as a society and really figure things out, because just the stories from that tragic day a year ago. And just to think that nothing's really changed, has it? It's kind of embarrassing, but at the same rate, keep their memories alive. That's the best thing you could do. And just kind of carry the torch for them. They're no longer with us, but that doesn't mean that their energy isn't with us. And we can use their energy to right the wrongs that we still currently have going on today. So, Harry, your thoughts?
So, my thoughts, I'm old enough, and I was in Colorado at the time that Columbine happened. We were actually in the Denver area, me and Monica. We had left work early to go watch a movie, and then, you know, even on sports radio, it was talking about, you know, the school shooting through the hair. That was in 1999. Since then, we've had Sandy Hook, we've had Uvalde, and we've had so many you can't even name.
Parkland, et cetera, yeah.
Santa Fe.
It's, you know, the El Paso, our friends in El Paso, you know, the Walmart, you know, we've got to elect people that can come together. You know, banning guns isn't the answer. Giving everybody guns isn't the answer. There's got to be some common sense and way that addresses the guns, addresses mental health, which we talked about earlier. That's a huge part of it. I know here in Texas, we talk about, you know, the politicians talk about mental health, but yet we're one of the lowest rated states for mental health. So to me, you know, like I said here, it's easy to get frustrated and it's easy to kind of throw your hands up in the air. To me, my only thing is we've got to elect leaders that can come together, and it's not just, you know, my way or the highway, which is unfortunate where we're at, you know, politics wise. We need to come back to the middle, come back as a society back to the middle, where, you know, just because you don't like something doesn't mean, hey, it's got to be canceled or banned or whatever words that you want to do. It used to be that, you know, as a society, you could sit down and discuss tough topics and not have to worry about, you know, just being banned or, you know, criticized, well, not even criticized, but just, you know, just the, where we're at society wise, where, you know, it's like, hey, you don't know what you're talking about type stuff. So to me, that's my biggest thing here. You know, hopefully, you know, my kids will be sophomores next year. We had, you know, here at the north side, we had 3 or 4 lockdowns just with gun related in the area. And as a parent, it's crazy to think that I went to school with guns in the back of my damn truck, you know, hanging on there. We didn't think anything of it. Nowadays, it's just, as a society, we've got to be better, and we've got to elect people that can work together, because that's really the only way things change, is if we can come together, both parties can come together and put realistic common sense stuff that may or may not work. It might not work right away, but just doing thoughts and prayers. We're what, 99, 23, 24 years? It ain't working, whatever we're doing. It's not.
And yeah, we have a whole lot of leaders right now in leadership roles that are constantly giving that we've tried nothing and we're already out of ideas. And that's just, it's a pain in the ass. But anyway, like I said, let's neither here nor there. We need to fix the problem. We have a problem. First of all, we have a problem. We need to fix that as a society. But our job to fix that as a society, the motivation behind that are those 21 lives that we lost a year ago in Uvalde, and that community will, they'll stay with us, and the memories of the families affected are with us, and we hope nothing but the best, and we just send a lot of love out to that community.
And kudos to the SAFC for recommitting to them. Absolutely. As well, by having clinics and stuff out there. So since we are a San Antonio FC podcast, San Antonio FC is trying to do their job as well, when it comes to providing to the local community as well.
So I think we're going to end it on that note. We're not going to do final thoughts. That's our collective final thought, is never forget those 21 lives, and let's be better as a society. Being better as a society starts with you, with us. We need to all be better. So love your neighbor, golden rule, all that good stuff. It's very valuable. For all of us here at the San Antonio FC Fancast and Soccer Roundtable, what's life without goals? We'll see y'all.